Accession number 27315, reel 3.
Nobby.
Michael Moulton, reel 3. So, where were you on VE Day?
Probably on leave again.
You came. Actually, we heard that he'd been awarded the DFC. And I went to meet you across the field to box hops.
Oh, yes, I was...
That's right, and you came on leave that day.
I came on leave and they'd got a DFC hanging around for me. Yeah. No, I didn't know. They never tell me anything, you know, yeah. You don't ever know. Yeah.
So that was VE Day, and you'd been expecting the end of the war by then, had you?
I think the writing, yes. Mm.
So, off to BOAC, as it was then, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
British Overseas Airways Corporation.
So you left the RAF, but you didn't leave flying. What feelings did you have at leaving the RAF? I mean, you've been there a good while.
Well, it wasn't a sudden jump because, in fact, we were still flying in RAF uniform on sort of RAF pay for quite a time after that.
Right.
And then they decided to have our own uniform, but we were still allowed to wear our RAF blue shirts. And... So it was a very slow transition, really. I mean, you were still flying the same aeroplane, still in the same uniform. Just a different. The only thing you felt about it is you could cross the channel. Two things: one, you felt totally naked because you didn't have a parachute, and the other one was that you could fly all the way to Rabat in North Africa, and there was nobody willing to shoot you down. It was. Very, very strange. It took a long time to get over the idea that there was somebody going to let a great black ball of smoke come up.
So you went on, as you've been mentioning, with a 31-year career.
Yes.
With BOAC and its successors. Yeah. And tell us about the aircraft you flew very briefly.
Lancastrians you know about. And then the York, which was a hideous monster. But after that, the Argonaut, which is a sort of hybrid thing from the States and thing. But Rolls-Royce engines. My only claim to fame in all this is that I probably have flown more behind Merlin engines than anybody in the world, because Spitfire had a Merlin. Lancaster had Merlins, the Lancastrian had Merlins, the York had Merlins, and the Argonaut had Merlins. So, I could wake up in the night and still hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. And your career?
From York's, we went to, the Comet.
The Comet.
Yeah. I took the first Comet out of London, heading for Tokyo.
Really? Because that was
That was a great big Spitfire, that aeroplane was. It would come off the ground and go straight up. And the only difference is when you got up there, you were thinking, just like the Spitfire, I've got to get this thing down. Except that you had 30-odd passengers behind you, you know.
And
exciting.
It was, exciting.
Oh, it was exciting, yes.
Yeah. So, pioneering this of long routes and the commercial...
Well, it was the first commercial jet aeroplane, of course. Mm. And after that, the VC-10 and the Super VC-10. And lucky, really, I suppose I could go where I liked in those things. It sounds strange, but they had a scheme in BOAC. This is probably irrelevant and you can wipe it all out. But they had a scheme where the most senior pilot could go where he liked, and the second most senior pilot could go where he liked, providing it wasn't where the other chap had already picked it. Or I think at the time I was about 11th in seniority or something, because I joined early, which virtually meant that I can say to the office, well, I think I'll go down to Johannesburg this week, or I'll go round the world eastwards, and for a change, round the world westwards via Los Angeles and things. So, you name it, and I probably slept there, you know.
So none of the monotony that the pilot...
Oh, it wasn't monotonous at all. No, and you've got to know your passengers. Very much of a muchness. We were very well treated at the BIAC. Some of the memorable trips was one which the Wargraves Commission chartered to Rangoon. There's a big war cemetery in Rangoon, and I took all the relatives out. And, excuse me, you think that would be a miserable trip? We had everybody on the flight deck, took them all out, flew round the cemetery. I think I even got the crew to go to service afterwards with them. And we flew them all back. It was a party all the way.
Really?
Wonderful.
And these were widows, mostly.
They're all widows, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. You'd think that would be an appalling trip, wouldn't you?
We chatted them up.
Yeah. Because there was that, I suppose, there were so many people, although lots of people rejoiced at the end of the war, there's so many that... There was no rejoicing.
Oh, yes, yeah.
You must be very aware of that, in a sense. That, is that why people didn't speak about the war so much, you know? People who didn't...
Well, no, it wasn't done. What I'm doing now is not done. Oh. You know, you don't talk about that. I don't know why I'm doing... Well, I've agreed to do this, but, you know, what I did in the war, Daddy... frowned upon, and it was part of the culture.
Yes. Yeah. I won't ask you what you learned from your war service, because it's very obvious, but apart from all the skills you picked up, which were obviously many, what do you think the RAF taught you, or your experiences, wartime experience, taught you about life, as it were?
Well, it was the best of all the services. I was in the best squadrons. My flight was the best there was. That's my life. That's what I was brought up on. And you didn't look at it overall. You weren't criticising the whole thing. You made the best of what you got, and it was the best anyway.
Esprit de corps, you learned,
perhaps. Here. Yes. Yes, I suppose so. Although less so in I don't know that that's right. When you were in fighter command, you were very much on your own. And in bomber command, we just had a little crew there. And, you know, you looked after them. But you used to go your own way afterwards.
When we had a break, I asked you about whether, when you were an instructor... Did you get some sense of some pilots were going to be the ones who were going to be shot down or get into trouble or whatever? And you seem to think that some did.
It's difficult to answer that. It's like people driving motor cars. You know, some you could go to sleep in any time you liked, and that's one useful thing, that I can generally passenger with anybody, because sitting behind trainee pilots, you do get used to it. But you do get a sense of whether their hands are right. But of course... We were moving around so fast, you never knew whether your answer was right or not. I remember one photograph we had taken early on one of these long photographs that roll out, and there were about 50 people on that, and I think 2 months later there were only three of us still alive. But they'd all shifted out, and they'd go.
You seem to have accepted those losses as at the time. As
well, Mrs. Good as a Mile, I'm here. Mm. You know, it was. You didn't think about that.
Any other stories that come to your mind? I'm sure, obviously, with all these years in the RAF, you know, there are lots of stories.
Well, do you know, it's a silly thing to say, but it's so far in the background now. And as I say, one doesn't talk about it, therefore you don't keep stirring up the grey matter. I don't know, really. I don't know that I enjoy it, but it was certainly, I've always had the best job in the world, and that includes the Air Force, so that's it.
Lovely. Well, I'll say, Michael Maltin, thank you very much indeed. It's been fascinating. And that's Michael Maltin, end of reel 3.